I wonder how many times God reminds us of things in the gospel that we choose to completely ignore. So this gospel is one of those wake-up calls. This is one of those gospels, by the way, that also gives Christianity a bad name, because when people always complain, like, you know, the church is judging me and I don't want a God who's going to be a harsh judge and everything, then you read a gospel like this that says, if you knew your master's will and did not make preparations, you will be beaten severely. And if you didn't know his will but still deserve a beating, well, then you'll just be beaten a little bit. That doesn't really make Christianity always super attractive. So let's put things in context. Okay, the big picture is this. First thing that we need to remember that we very easily forget. You know what? If you exist, and frankly, if you're questioning yourself, if you exist or not, then that's already proof that you exist. I think, therefore, I am. There you go. If you exist, it is a gift. God chose to make you, not because you deserved anything. God simply chose to make you because he loved you. He already had the thought of you in his mind and said, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make this person. So there you go. Congratulations. The only reason you exist is because God thought about you and said, yeah, I'm going to do it. Okay? You were made out of love. That's number one thing that we tend to forget about. Okay? That's the happy side. Okay? Now, there's a reason why God made us. And the simplest way of looking at it is like this. Remember, God doesn't need any of us to be happy. God is infinitely, perfectly happy. Before he made any angels or any saints or any galaxies or anything else, God is absolutely, totally happy. And frankly, by making all of us, it's not like he got any happier out of the deal. God didn't make us because he's selfish. It's exactly the opposite. God is absolutely, perfectly happy and content in and of himself. But he said, you know what? It's so nice being happy. Wouldn't it be cool if there were other people that could also be happy? Hence, you exist. Okay? So God made angels. God made us. And the goal is, he made us so that he could have somebody to share his love with, so that, in the end of the day, by experiencing his love, sharing his love, having creatures that reflect his love, he could also share his happiness. Okay, that's the second thing we tend to forget. Now, the flip side of that means this. If God made you, you have a mission. You have a responsibility. You have a standard. You get graded at the end of the day. Did you do a good job or a bad job? Here's the part we don't like, because we tend to forget. You know, we go through life very often. I think our default is do whatever I feel like and then hope God is okay with it. How many of us does that more or less sound like a lot of our time? Okay, I don't know. Maybe you guys are all holier than I am. But I at least, that's right. I at least probably spend a considerable amount of my time doing what I feel like doing, and then kind of half in the back of my mind, I sure hope God is okay with this. As opposed to actually thinking, what is God's will? What is God's plan? Which, frankly, is usually going to involve some degree of difficulty, okay? So that's kind of the context I think we need to read this gospel in. Because what happens is Jesus is basically saying, don't forget that you have a mission in life. And then he says, look, if you remember you have a mission, he gives the example. He says, be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding. What does that mean? The servants know they have a job to do. Imagine you've got some estate, a household, you know, Spanish hacienda or something like that, and you expect things to be ready for you when you come home. You come home and everybody's drunk and asleep, and you're like, what? You're all fired. That would be nice. Actually, he doesn't even say you're fired. He says, I actually get to keep you, but you're all going to get beaten. Okay? There's an expectation. He says, if you remember your mission and you are faithful to it, I will reward you. He's going to come home and serve you himself. Imagine being served by God. Frankly, we do it all the time anyway. That's what we do at Mass. But imagine how good you feel when you get to heaven, and for all eternity, you're going to be serving him, but more importantly, he's going to be serving you right back. And whatever you can do to serve God, really, in the end of the day, is not going to do anything for him. But what he does for you in eternity is going to be unbelievable. That's what God wants for you. But he also says, you know what? You gotta want it. You gotta want it. You got to remember. You have to let me do my thing. And the way that you let me is by working with me. So, I want to ask, I'd like to focus a little bit on the last words of the gospel, not the bit about the one who deserves to get beaten and all that, because I think you're about to get point taken. The very last lines of the gospel, much will be required of the person entrusted with much. Still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. I think this is a line that if we're not careful, we can make a lot of excuses. How many people here feel like you are privileged? How many people feel like you are entitled? Okay. Most of you have sucked up the toxic cultural lie that you are all somehow oppressed. Are you baptized? You are greatly privileged. Most people in the world have never been baptized. Most people in the world either don't know about Christ, don't believe in Christ. The vast majority of human population, the 8 billion or so people, are not baptized. You are. That is a privilege. That is a grace. That is something that in eternity you are going to be thanking God for. But it's got a responsibility to it, because guess what? If you're baptized, God's going to expect a little bit more from you. Do you have access to the sacraments? Well, a redundant question, you're in Mass, right? So if you're in this church, the vast majority of you have access to the sacraments. Occasionally we get somebody who hasn't done their OCIA class yet, or whatever, or maybe not old enough to receive communion. But 90-some percent of you people, probably 98% of you people, are going to go to communion. Guess what? Or you're in the confession line back there. Guess what? How many people in the world, if they had faith, if they had knowledge that it was a thing, if they really believed in it and had the gift of faith that you and I have, would be dying to be able to go to confession whenever they want? I spend on an average about 6 hours a week hearing your confessions. That's more than most parishes. I personally hear more confessions than the vast majority of parishes do in a week. And I'm one of three priests in the Legion of Christ that's serving here. You multiply that times maybe 2.5. Father Elio probably hears fewer confessions because he's usually celebrating the long masses. I'm going to guess we do at least 15 hours of confession a week in this church. Okay? On the one hand, we need to be grateful for that, but on the other hand, we're answerable. Do I live a holier life? Does it change me? A lot of the times, we tend to think about, what are the things that I don't have? For example, I spend a couple days a week living in Rye, New York. Rye is one of the wealthier neighborhoods in the state of New York. It's actually one of the wealthier neighborhoods in the United States. It's next to Greenwich and all those other Scarsdale, all these super fancy neighborhoods. Okay, probably nobody here has as much money as a lot of the people that I see all the time when I'm up in Rye, okay? We can feel sorry for ourselves. We can think, you know what? I don't have all the stuff I would like to have. Well, I'll tell you what, having money is a blessing. We all know that. Here's something that we don't think often about. Not having money is also a blessing. Not having access, not having things that can distract us and be temptations is also a blessing. Sometimes some of us are old and arthritic and whatever, and we, you know, we've got bad hearts and bad this and bad that. And, hey, you're laughing, you know. I just discovered the joys of sciatica a couple months ago. Never knew how fun it could be. Okay, having good health is a blessing, but you know what? Having bad health is a blessing too. Being popular is a blessing. You know what? Being unpopular is a blessing too, because every time we experience the cross, it is an opportunity to turn to God. It is an opportunity to be humbled. It is an opportunity to lift our eyes to God. It is an opportunity to offer things up. It is an opportunity to save souls. How many of us have that mentality though? How many of us really have the mentality that when the cross comes my way, I'm going to grab onto this with both hands and take advantage of it? When you and I get to heaven, who are the people that you're going to see in the highest places? You know who it's going to be? Those who suffered most. Those who had the biggest crosses and offered them up with the most love. Those are going to be the people that are closest to God, to the Holy Trinity. Beginning with the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then you're going to see all the other great saints, St. Paul and St. Faustina and all these martyrs and everything. Those are the ones, whoever had the blessing of being able to offer up difficulties out of love are going to be the ones who have the greatest blessings in eternity. And that changes, I think, our perspective on things. All of a sudden, we're not going around thinking about how hard things are, what I don't have, what I wish I had. When we recognize that absolutely everything in my life, when I give it to Christ, it is an opportunity to grow in holiness, to save souls, to love God. Whoever has been entrusted with much, whatever that much is going to be expected. Whoever has more, well, even more will be expected of us. Okay? I promise you, the people I'm looking at right now, more is going to be expected of you because you have a certain amount of faith, you have access to the sacraments, you have so many things that happen in this parish. A lot more is going to be expected of us parishioners here than of so many people out there that maybe we are jealous of. They live in Manhattan, they work in Manhattan, they shop on Fifth Avenue, and they're spaced out. And they're lost. They're unhappy. How much more blessed we are, and how much more responsibility in the end of the day you and I will have than so many of the people that we tend to think have it all so good. So, I am not going to finish on the note of whoever didn't act the way they were supposed to will get the beating. Well, I guess I just did. Anyway, let's avoid the beatings. Let's take advantage of the graces and the blessings that God has for us. Let's take advantage and learn how to be grateful. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.